back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. And I'm joined by Judy Henderson, who is out with a brand new memoir, When the Light Finds Us, From a Life Sentence to a Life Transformed. The book is available everywhere. And just to very, very quickly summarize, Judy spent 36 plus years in a Minnesota penitentiary for a murder she did not commit. And this book takes us through her journey of, well, the journey of her life up until this point. And Judy, as we first start, I don't want to focus too much on the crime for which you were convicted, but to me it seemed that nobody really disputed the factual allegations. It was just what the court did with you after the trial. Is that sort of a fair statement?
Well, during the trial, too, because I wasn't the one who committed the murder. It was my co-defendant, and he was acquitted and never did any time at all. So, there was a serious conflict of interest because we both had the same attorney when I went to trial first. So, therefore, while I was seeing our attorney and he was sitting in on my meetings, he was also visiting with two other criminal attorneys on the side that I wasn't aware of.
So you have it explained fully well in the book, and I don't want to ruin the story, and we don't have time to get into a lot of it, but the idea of the conflict of interest, that probably wouldn't happen today. But nonetheless, you spent all that time in prison. You took a route out of prison that not a lot of people get to enjoy. You received a governor's pardon, and so can you take me through the day when the governor showed up at the Missouri Penitentiary, because I thought it was just a beautiful story.
Oh, well, thank you. So a short snippet of that, because the way it occurred was really odd, because I refused to go to the visiting room, for one, because it wasn't a visiting day, and I was a fitness trainer at the time, so I had classes I had to attend for the offenders. And so they forced me to go up there. I got the strip search. I walked in the visiting room, and I see the governor's attorney standing there. And he had been to see me 2 weeks earlier, and that had happened to me before with other governors, but nothing transpired. So I was kind of down and out, thinking he was going to just tell me, "I'm sorry, we can't help you." But, however, I asked him, I said, "Justin, what are you doing here?" And he said, "I have a couple of questions." He said, "Actually, there's somebody that's been wanting to meet you for a long time." And I said, "Who would want to meet me?" And he said, "Turn around." I turned around, and there was Governor Greitens. And I just started crying and fell to my knees, because I knew he wouldn't be there if it wasn't good news.
The absolute thrill of that must be something, and the way you captured it in the book was so beautiful. But you're sitting in prison, and you made the most of your prison sentence all the while trying to get out of there. And so as you're sitting there raising daughters from prison through phone calls, talking them through breakups, cooking, I mean, the story's about telling them through cooking recipes.
Yeah.
For a mother to sit in prison and go through all that, what was it? It was your faith that kept you going. And so can you explain how your faith kept you going and how important forgiveness was for you to take that step?
Well, I was a Christian. I grew up as a Christian, and then I kind of left the church because of a situation that occurred. And so my mother was always faithful, and I remember when I went in and she told me, "Judy, open the Bible wherever you're at, because Satan hates the Word of God." So, because prison can be a fearful place, especially if you've never been there and you've never committed any crimes, no one's ever in your family been to jail. So I just had to figure out, Brian, exactly what got me there to start with. Then I went from there. Once I found the how I got there, by not loving myself and being a domestic violence victim, which I'm now Victor, I want to say that and stand on it. I began my spiritual journey after years of therapy, and I thought, you know what, there's two things you can do with anger. You can either get bitter or you can get better, and you can start helping other people on their journey of a lifestyle of being abused and sexually assaulted and being away from their children. So that's how I began. I started with a three-day Christian retreat, and it was just awesome to see how many volunteers from the street volunteered their time because they loved us so much. And I thought, how much more does Jesus love us? And I need to get that. I need to get that in my spirit. I need to get that in my heart and do the same for others. And I've been doing it ever since, and I still give back because I work with Catholic Charities.
Ironically, as I read your book, Judy, ironically, you are not the first lifer, essentially, in prison to tell me about how important forgiving the prosecutor was. I've had wrongfully convicted people tell me about forgiving the prosecutor. And so that step, how long of a journey was it to actually get to forgive the prosecutor for what that person had done to you?
It took me about 18 years, I believe it was. And I finally understood, you know, he was doing a job that he was elected to do, and he was doing it to the best of his ability and what he felt in his heart he should do. But whenever we met afterwards, whenever I wrote him that letter that, you know, I forgave him, and I just wanted him to know what I'd been doing in prison, God just moved in his, you know, his heart. And I'd never expected that ever in a million years. So for him to become one of my advocates was just a miracle in itself, Brian. When the light finds us, you will, I know as you've read it, there is a lot of different miracles that occurred in that book. And I'm surprised I'm even alive today because of the miracles that and I wouldn't be if it wasn't for the miracles of God in that book.
The idea of writing a memoir, did that start, did you have memoirs written while you were in prison? Because I know a lot of inmates will do that. And then how therapeutic was it for you?
No, I did not. I wouldn't even talk to the press about my case or anything for 36 years. If I ever talked to the press, it was concerning domestic violence programs or mothers and their children or passing the battered woman syndrome law. Which became a defense here in the state of Missouri. And I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question?
How therapeutic was writing this book for you?
Oh, I'll tell you what, Brian. I thought I had been through all the therapy that I needed whenever I was incarcerated. But writing this book with my writer was just a bigger step. It was just a bigger step because I still had that guilt of not being there for my children and my family and how that affected them. And so the guilt was something I kept hidden. But through this writing, it really helped me release a lot of that. And so it was another journey that God led me to because I never, ever intended to do this, ever. I was going to live a quiet life with my family and children. And now I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
The funny thing I thought, and it makes sense because you weren't giving interviews, as I read the book, I looked around I thought, wow, this type of crime you would think would be ripe for a Netflix special or something like that, and this type of story. There's nothing out there about it, and so you kind of suffered quietly without much support other than from those closest to you. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, that is a fair statement, yes.
And
yes.
So as you did that, you're going through appeals. The law was sort of against you, as I looked and read the appellate decisions. But nonetheless, what do you think it was about this particular governor who decided to show you mercy?
You know what I found out about him, and I thank God today that we are still friends, and he still mentors me, and so does his team. He is a Christian. He has a heart of God, and he wasn't governor for any other reason than to help the citizens of Missouri. And for him to actually take the time to walk into a prison, that made history in itself, to release an offender. And then to do the pardon, I mean, no governor ever does this in the first year of their term because they're afraid of how it will affect their reelection. So it made history in so many ways. And then I found out he's a Christian, that he loves God. He just wanted this position so he could do everything that he could to help the people that wasn't getting the help that they needed.
And
so
he also did it that day with no press.
Yes. Yes. He told me, because I told him, I said, oh, please tell me there's no press out here. And he said, Judy, this isn't about me. He said, this is about you and your family and what Missouri has taken from you. And he said, so I'm going to move out of the way and take my team, and there's people on the other side of this door that's been waiting to see you. And when they did and they opened the door, it was like, whew, a flood of tears.
Well, it's an absolutely amazing story about the transformation of your soul, essentially, in prison, and as well as the story of what you went through. The book is called When the Light Finds Us, From a Life Sentence to a Life Transformed by Judy Henderson. The book is available everywhere. Judy's been out about 4 years now, and she's doing a lot of advocacy work. Judy, just an amazing story. I thank you for sharing it, and I wish you a wonderful journey the rest of your life.
Brian, thank you so very much, and thank you for having me on. It's been a great life so far, and I'm just going to see what God has in store for me each day.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. 'Cause I'm as free as bird.